You're listening to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, the Sunday, February 3rd show. I'm Tina Mitchell, Mortgage Diva, and sitting to my left is my co-host, the Mortgage Master, Mike Mercer. How's it going, Mike?
Good, Tina. How are you doing today?
Good. Why does it feel like it's been a while since we've been in studio? I know it's only been a week, but doesn't it feel longer?
It does.
Maybe it's the rain or something?
I'm not feeling off. I'm feeling very excited.
I'm so excited, but it just feels like it's been a while. Yeah, like I've been on vacation. I know. I have not. I've been here in Seattle. No vacay. Anyways, to all of you listeners out there, thank you so much for taking time with us today to talk money. Mike and I are here every Sunday on 570 KVI at 2 p.m., bringing expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events and local economy can affect our money. We've got some awesome guests in studio today. Back again for a second time, we have Wolf Pulse, a realtor with Windermere Yarrow Bay, and he's here to discuss the importance of advocacy for housing consumers at the local, state, and national levels. Really excited as well to have Ron West, first-time guest. He is the everything guy about home inspections. So whether you're a current homeowner, selling your home, or a potential possible buyer, you definitely won't want to miss out on Ron's segment. And, Mike, I think it might be a little bit of time for
money, money, money.
Some money chat. What do you got?
What do I got? I've got an article written by a gal named Liz Weston. This is on MSN. And the title is called 9 Money Rules to Live By. And there's a lot of good information here. I'm going to try to read through this as quickly as I can. I hope I can get through all 9 points, but
if not, then Kevin, our engineer, is going to cut you off.
He'll cut me off. But
he's so mean.
So here we go. She says, Liz says that, you know, most surveys that measure financial literacy focus on teenagers. And the results are usually grim. Not too big of a surprise. But in research by the nonprofit organization called Jumpstart Coalition, which basically promotes personal finance education, it said that the average high school student correctly answered just 48.3% of the questions covering money basics. And this is in 2011 when this was done. And that was down from 57.3% a decade earlier. But even with that score, which was, you know, hardly distinguishing, anything less than 60% really counts as an F. So a recent poll by Harris Interactive for the National Council on Economic Education show that adults aren't that much savvier. So apparently the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So here's what they said.
What
they said,
are you saying,
they
Mike?
Said while teens on an average scored a 53, which was another F, on a quiz testing knowledge of basic economic and personal finance concepts, the grown-ups' average score was just 70, which is a C. So in addition,
that's better than the kids.
Well, it's a little bit better. Yes, okay. It is better. More than one quarter of adults failed the quiz. Women were far more likely to fail than men.
What?
But hold on. It gets better, though. 42% scored an F compared with 15% of men. Men were much more likely than women to get an A or a B on the test, 51% compared to 17. It gets better, trust me.
I need to, like, approve the money chat or something, Mike. I don't like this
one. So here's where Liz, the author, steps in, and she says, if it makes you female readers feel any better, there were also lots of studies out there showing that actually women are better investors than men once they actually get around to being able to invest.
And just really quickly, Mike, I mean, when we pull credit reports, statistically, who has the better credit score?
Women.
The women always do.
Yeah.
Almost always.
So this is coming back positive. It's circling around here. But the fact remains that there's a heck of a lot of financial ignorance going around. And financial ignorance is costly. Women may have even more to lose than men since women tend to, you know, on average, earn a little bit less. They're more likely to have their careers interrupted. And they're also likely to live longer, which means that, they might have they're going to have more time to really suffer from any sort of financial mistakes that they make. So caution there. But understanding economics and personal finance doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes or face financial disasters. But you can lessen the odds and repair the damage faster if you know the rules of the game. So here are the economic and financial concepts that she wanted to talk about. And I gotta jam through these. So number one would be the difference between needs and wants, right? So it's kind of basic. Our actual needs are pretty limited, you know, food, shelter, clothing, companionship. We all kind of know what that is versus what things we want. Also, the way we fulfill our needs involves a lot of choices. You know, shelter, for example, can be a mission for the homeless, or it can be a $125 million mansion. Our food choices offer similar range from beans and tap water up to steaks and Dom Perignon, right? So we kind of get the nuts and bolts of needs and wants, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing would be scarcity. Scarcity makes your choices for you. So it's lovely to believe in a world, you know, of endless abundance, she says. But the reality is that at any given point in time, our resources have limits. Whether it's oil on the ground or our time here on Earth or the cash in our pockets, there's only so much available to be spent. Number three, the pointlessness of the hedonic treadmill. So hedonic meaning like seeking the pleasure, right?
Got it.
The pleasure treadmill, meaning that this isn't the latest workout device at our gym. They call the hedonic treadmill means that we quickly adjust to improved circumstances. So we want to make X amount of dollars. Once we start making those dollars, all of a sudden we spend. Right. So then we have we're always constantly chasing that next thing, which is why they call it the treadmill, because you can never get off and you're just running in place. Right. OK. Number four, every money decision has a cost of its own. Obviously, there's always an opportunity cost. Very simple means that, you know, we give up something to get something else. In every choice, there's an opportunity cost. So, for example, if you choose to go to college, you're giving up that opportunity to be making money at that time. But if you do go to college, it's a known fact that college graduates make about 70% more than non-college graduates over the lifetime of their employment. So you kind of got to think about that. Number five, why supply and demand, the supply and demand rule. For most people, prices are set at, the interaction between supply and demand. Obviously the interplay of supply and demand is also why one-day gas boycotts don't work, because typically people will go up and get all their gas the day before the boycott or the day after. But supply and demand have a lot to do with our incomes as well. You know, if we have rare skills that are high in demand by employers, we can negotiate a higher pay. If, on the other hand, a lot of people can do what we can do, or the employer's needs for what we're doing is going to be limited, our incomes are likely to be stunted. And there was a huge 60 Minutes did an article on this I saw last week about robots, right? Robots are... American companies are definitely bringing jobs back to America.
Uh-huh.
They're pulling them out of Asia and such. The only downside to it is the people that are getting those jobs now in America are going to be robots. So on the manufacturing. So something to kind of consider, where people are going to need to start learning new trades. Number six, throw no good money after bad. Talking about like what they call sunk costs, are expenses that have already been incurred. Sometimes people, if they make financial mistakes, they keep continually throwing money, more money at it. Maybe it's
instead of just cutting their loss.
Exactly. Or maybe it's holding on to a bad stock.
Yep.
They're waiting for it to come back so they can at least break even instead of just getting out of the deal. Number seven, the role risk plays. Every human endeavor carries some risk, and investments are no exception. So it talks about maybe some people will like to invest in the 30-day treasury bill, which is very conservative. Mm-hmm. The problem is it barely keeps up with the price of inflation. So make sure that you take a look at your investments. On the other hand, some stocks do very, very well. But of course, if you have all your eggs in one basket, like you invested in Enron, you'd be kind of out of luck. So number eight, the time value of money. This boils down to a relatively simple proposition that the dollar I get today is worth more than the dollar tomorrow. And I've always asked people this, you know, if you were to win the lottery and you had an option to get, you know, $100 million over the course of the next 20 years, or $50 or $60 million now, what would you take?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd take the 50 now.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, and then number nine, in closing, the miracle of compound interest. And this was interesting. It talked about, you know, the old saying, if you were to give a penny a day, if a penny doubled a day for 30 days, how much would you have? Right? And it's actually over $10 million.
Millions. It's pretty amazing. Take your calculator out and do that.
It's pretty interesting because on day 15.
And you get on like day 20 or something. It's like, what? There's no way this is like 10, 11, 12
million. 15 days into the 30 days, it's only $163.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the point that they were making, it goes both ways. As far as investing goes, a little bit does help compounding interest. But also on the negative, when you get into credit card debt, right? This is why so many Americans get into trouble. Is that compounding interest starts going the other direction.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that's that was it.
That's a good tip, Mike. And you and I talk with clients, being that we're in the mortgage business and we're helping people secure and manage their mortgage is really about budgeting. And I think a lot of people say they budget, but really a true budget's not putting together just the basic, is just starting out and putting together your expenses, where your money is going, and figuring out where you can save and be more strategic and smart with your money. But true budgeting is doing it on an ongoing basis. And there's two simple things with budgeting. You got to write it down every time you buy it. If you force yourself to write it down, you're going to be a lot less to buy something that you really don't need. And also, I thought this is a key point to budgeting. The second piece of it is you always have to be saving for something. Now, our clients may be saving for a home, which is a pretty big purchase. But if you're not looking at saving for a home, maybe for, I'll use a girl for an example, a lot of women, you know, like to buy nice purses, and it might not be a really good buy. But the fact that you're actually saving for that versus not, there's going to be less chance that that female is going to waste their money because they have something that they're saving for. So you should always write it down before you buy it. Always have something that you want to save for. And we use the example with a home mortgage. $80 a month is easily another $10,000-$15,000 in buying potential. So if you could just not go to Starbucks on your way to work,
that's a hard one.
5 days a week, that's $80 a month. So if you're listening, that's another $10,000-$15,000 in buying power if you're going out and buying a house. So budgeting is a good thing.
Yep.
And what I thought I would bring to Money Chat today is to talk about trigger leads. Now in this environment with the low, amazing interest rates that we're seeing, and they're just sticking around, and it's bringing in a lot of people back into the industry. And if you go in and Google trigger leads, you will be amazed at how many leads are out there for mortgage companies to actually purchase your information to be able to dial for dollars. So they're bringing in people that don't have experience in the industry, and they're just literally going in and calling and trying to generate mortgage leads. It's surprising to many homeowners when you go to apply for a loan application. Let's say you go get a loan application today. So you're not going to get an application today in most cases because it's on a Sunday. But let's say you go tomorrow to make loan application, and you may be surprised that as soon as you wake up on Tuesday, your phone starts ringing off the hook just overnight. And this is because of trigger leads. When you sign up for a loan application, the lender pulls your credit report from all three major credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And when the lender requests your credit, it then triggers an alert informing the credit bureaus that you are now a hot lead. Because if you're pulling your credit report through a mortgage company, obviously you're considering getting a mortgage, maybe purchasing, or in a lot of this environment right now, refinancing your current mortgage, which they can see because they have got your debt on there. The credit bureaus immediately sell these trigger leads to other lenders, presenting them with a list of hot leads that are looking to apply for a loan for a possible refinance. The credit bureaus are making millions and millions of dollars off of this. So there's two ways to look at trigger leads. Consumer and industry groups are divided on the issue of trigger leads. On one hand, some lenders and trade groups, including the Federal Trade Commission, argue this encouragement encourages competition. So if they're reselling these leads, it's encouraging competition and competitiveness in between the industry. So that's one way that they're looking at it. On the other hand, as some customers receiving calls from other lenders after they've already submitted an application, they feel like it's harassment. Mm-hmm. And here's the really scary thing about it. Consumers have no idea that their personal information is getting sold. They can't provide your social security number, but everything else, practically your debt, your credit score, your income, all of these things are getting sold. And the people that are picking up the phone to call you and buying these trigger leads, it's not an established loan officer that's had their practice for years. It's people that are new in the industry that don't have experience, because trust me, Mike and I are not going to pick up the phone and call trigger leads. We're working with people that are referred to us, our existing clients. We've got established database and clients that want our services. So you're getting inexperience, and there's a lot of unethical things that are going out there, because the companies that are hiring these people off the street that don't have experience, it's hardcore. They've got to meet these numbers. So they're really, really pressuring them to get this business in. And I've had clients call up and say, and this is a true story, I'm not making this up. I've had multiple times where clients have called and said, who's Tammy from your team? Just just called me up and said that they were looking for some information documents on the refinance. No lie. Mm-hmm. Tammy doesn't work on our team, Mike, does she?
No.
It's from a trigger lead. They're actually acting as if they're the lender that's in the process of...
They can see that they can see the name of the mortgage company that originally pulled the credit report.
Exactly. So. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. So it's pretty scary. So here's some suggestions I would do. If you're listening today and you're thinking about going through the process, having your credit report pulled, there's three ways to stop the harassment. Put your name on, put your name and phone number on the National Do Not Call Registry. So you can register your home, your cell phone. It takes about 31 days for it to become effective. You'll want to re-register on a five-year basis because it expires every 5 years. So that's the first thing you want to do. The second, to prevent mortgage lenders from sending you direct mail, if you don't want this, you will need to also register with the Direct Mail Association. Whether you register online or through the mail, it's going to cost you a buck, not a big deal. The DMA, Direct Mail Association, distributes a list quarterly, so it can take a while for this to become effective. But again, register on a five-year basis for this. And you'll also want to sign up for the opt-out pre-screen. This will stop the credit bureaus from selling your name as a trigger lead. I mean, it's so simple. This is all you got to do. Pick up the phone and call 888-5-OPT-OUT. Again, that's 888-5-OPT-OUT or online at optoutprescreen.com. If you didn't get that, you can always call us here at our show, 1-888-987-0570. You can reach Mike and I online at themoneyhour.com. And that was my money chat,
good stuff,
Mike. Yeah. Coming up next in the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, we're going to discuss the importance of advocacy from housing consumers at the local, state, and national levels. You will not want to miss our first guest in studio, Wolf Pulse Realtor with Windermere Yarrow Bay, right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
Home inspections reveal hidden problems. Protect your investment and safeguard your family. Whether you're buying or selling, everybody wants the deal to go through. That's where the experts at RW West Consultants come in.
This is Ron West of rwwestconsultants.com. Contact us for your pre-purchase inspection, a pre-inspection, or a home maintenance inspection at 206-650-5155. That's 206-650-5155. Or find us online at rwwestconsultants.com.
Confused whether to sell your home now or wait? For over 29 years, Realtor Wolf Pulse of Windermere Real Estate Yarrow Bay office in Kirkland has helped people decide when the timing is right through his expertise and experience.
This is Wolf Pulse with Windermere Real Estate. For an absolute no-pressure consultation about your real estate needs, whether you are a buyer or a seller, call me anytime on my cell, 425-444-2787. Again, that's 425-444-2787.
This is the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on 570 KVI every Sunday at 2 p.m. Purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-987-0570 or contact us online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com.
And our first guest in studio, very, very excited to have Wolf Pauls back. He's got a lot of pull in our local market here, and one educated guy that keeps up to date on everything that you should know as a realtor. He's with Windermere Yarrow Bay. Wolf has been a full-time realtor since 1984 and has hung his license with the same company, Windermere Yarrow Bay, for the entire 25 years of his career. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
You don't see that very often.
See that. They just kind of pop around a lot.
Yeah.
He's a residential resale listing and sell specialist in the greater Puget Sound area, and is the 2012 president of Seattle King County Realtors, a 5,000 member professional trade association that's been around since 1908 and is the oldest local realtor association in the country. And again, wealth of information. Wolf, thank you so much for coming back in studio with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, you guys. And just to let everybody know is that I am now past president of the Seattle King County Association of Realtors.
After how long, Wolf?
Well, it was a one-year presidency, and I'm not running for re-election, so you won't be getting emails from me about that. But actually, the presidency is a three-year stint. President-elect, president, and then immediate past president, and I'm very happy to be that.
That's awesome, but you're going to still be a big part of it.
Yeah, they still have their hooks in me. I think we'll be involved with the association for quite a few years to come, and I'm still involved in doing other activities with
Perfect.
Them. But I'm out of the hot seat, though, which is kind of nice. It
You're
is
not out of the hot seat. You are totally in the hot seat right now.
That's true.
You're on the money hour.
This is a good hot seat.
Yeah, good.
So, Wolf, I got a question for you right out of the gate. Why is advocacy so important for housing consumers at the local, state, and even national levels?
Well, Mike, the real reason it is because real estate, housing, it doesn't operate in a vacuum. And really, it's become a reality that in order for the industry, for the realtors, and to protect our business, but also on behalf of our consumers, that our clients, mm-hmm. that we have to be involved in what is going on with the legislation, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or at the national level. And then also in conjunction with that, we have to be concerned about who is elected, because who is elected determines which legislators are what we call housing friendly.
That is such a great point. And right now, today, in this environment, oh my gosh, it's so important today. So, Wolf, who does it?
At different levels here. I just got back last week. We put up together about 600 realtors from across the state. So people came all the way from Walla Walla, came from Spokane, and of course the west side here. We do this every year. We congregate in Olympia. We call it our Hill Day or our Legislative Day. We get together and then we meet one-on-one with our state representatives and state senators, and we give them basically our priorities, our legislative priorities, and mm-hmm. we have discussions with them and tell them why the housing recovery is so critical to the overall economy.
And what you need to help in that housing recovery.
Absolutely.
So what about the cost? Who's going to pay for all this?
Most of the cost is actually, I'm a volunteer. All of the people that serve the association, Mike, as board members, the president, those are volunteer positions. And the realtors that came down to Olympia, this wasn't something they get paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this on behalf of that. But really, everyone in the Realtor Association, we pay dues, just like any mm-hmm. organization, teachers, whatever. Dues that you pay both to local, state, and national. And those dues help. We have government affairs committees. We have lobbyists, all of those things that work on our behalf as well as the consumer's behalf to make sure that legislation does no harm to housing.
So, Wolf, you would think that every single realtor would participate in this, but they don't.
Well, you'd like to think that would be ideal, but there's other ways, Tina, that the realtors that are not able to actually attend events like this can be part of and participate in advocacy. And for example, you know, if someone were to go and wanted to run for the Board of Realtors, we're always open to that. In fact, we highly encourage people to volunteer. And if they don't want to run on the board, they can run and or participate in committees. There's several committees, government affairs. Mm-hmm. We have the First Citizen Banquet, which I'll talk about if you give me enough time. And other committees that they can participate to, they can respond to call to actions, which are come from the National Association when there's big things going on, like the mortgage interest deduction, which continually is threatened.
That, mm-hmm. Thank goodness that. Is it continually threatened?
Well, it will continue to be threatened. You know, the
you
thing
think?
Is, oh, absolutely.
Really?
I think that's one of those little targets that is easy to look at because there's a lot of money there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money there to be had. And it is so critical to the recovery mm-hmm. that having that. But what the National Association does, and keep in mind that the National Association of Realtors represents close to or right around 1 million members. So it's a pretty large group. And they will send out emails, call to actions, and all they ask is for each member to push a couple buttons on their computer, and that sends an email to their local legislators, as well as to their, to their senators and stuff like that. And
thanks to all of our realtor partners out there for making sure you hit that button with the interest deduction.
Yeah, very, very, and they had a very, very good response the last few times.
I'm sure they did.
And one of the things that I should mention, and this is kudos to the realtors in Washington State, where our response rate for the Washington State Realtor members is one of the highest in the country.
That's awesome.
Calls to action.
We do things so well here in the Northwest.
We do.
We are.
You know, yeah.
We are
always,
the leaders.
Always pushing. Yes, we
are the leaders. Yes, and it's not just because of technology, because we really know how to run our smartphones and stuff like that, but it's because we really care.
Yeah. So I would imagine that being involved with this kind of stuff, going to the Hill Day and all this other stuff that you do has got to take time away from your business.
Yes.
Therefore, does it or how does it hurt, sales, commissions, your earnings, by you volunteering your time over here on this end?
You know, it naturally does take some time. And obviously when I'm gone for a couple of days and I've as president, I was in Washington, D.C. I've also gone to other meetings. I look at it in a couple of ways. I think it really, really benefits me more than harms me in the time. I become a more efficient user of my day, if you will. And so I get a lot more done. And having been president, it was kind of nerve-wracking at first because I thought, well, geez, am I going to be out of the business, for a year while I'm doing these activities? But but I actually had my best year in 5 years when I was president of the association. So I think it kind of jump-started things for me.
That's awesome. Wolf, since you just returned from Hill Day in Olympia, and we've mentioned it a couple times in your segment here, what is Hill Day? Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. And Hill Day is everyone comes together. These are realtors from across the state, as I mentioned previously, and we all congregate in Olympia. We kind of have some caucuses, and we have some preparation for it. And then the Washington Realtors, our state association, prepares for us the legislative priorities. And this year we had 4 legislative priorities. We then meet with respective legislators and with our key contacts. And I'm happy to announce that I'm key contact this year for a brand new state representative in the 48th district, Cyrus Habib. And so I brought a couple of realtors with me, including Lennox Scott. And
I know Lennox Scott. Lennox Scott.
Lennox was there and supporting, and a couple of other realtors, Sam DeBord and a couple of other people. And we sat down with our representative. We had a short amount of time, and we talked over these legislative priorities, and I think we had a really good reception with
Why do they call it Hill Day, Wolf?
Because it's the hill, capital, on the hill.
Okay,
yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm sleepy today. No, Tina. Good question. And in some ways, it could be a metaphor for us climbing up the hill to reach our legislators. But
perfect. I like that, too.
But we took buses from our hotel.
No exercise.
It was raining.
Climbing was at a minimum.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. What would you like, as far as real estate the realtor members, the non-realtor members, and then just consumers, what would you like to see them do more of to be more vigilant kind of against some of this legislation?
Well, I think the thing that from the realtors and the non-realtors or just the real estate agents that are out there is you know, stay informed. I mean, it makes sense to stay informed, if only because your clients are going to ask you questions. They're going to ask you about, hey, did the mortgage interest deduction go away? Mm-hmm. What about this thing called real estate excise tax and all the other things that could affect their bottom line? And from consumers' point of view, I think it's reasonable for them to ask questions of the broker that they're working with, either to sell or buy their house, and see what their level of knowledge is. You know, it's important that you have that knowledge that you can carry forward and make sure that their interests are not harmed.
So, what do you say to those brokers who want the Realtor Association to stay out of the politics? What do you tell them?
Essentially, we really don't. We're in an environment these days where staying out of politics really is not an option. Politics affects our business. It affects all of our businesses. It affects the consumers. And so to stay out of it, I think, would just be naive. It's just mm-hmm. living in a vacuum that doesn't exist. And housing issues, you know, it's often said, you guys, that housing is one of the keys to an economic recovery.
Well, it's the heart of our economy.
Absolutely. And anything that harms that mm-hmm. negatively can put the brakes right back onto housing again. I mean, yeah. we're experiencing a really unique time right now because we've got kind of a surge of activity, you mm-hmm. know, in the last 12
and a lack
to 18.
Of inventory.
Oh, absolutely. And so we need to stay engaged, if only to know that what is going on out there and that there are people that are supporting housing and looking out for that part of the industry. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when houses don't sell, then people don't go to the home improvement stores. They don't buy anything. The sales taxes go away, all of that stuff. So it's a real trickle-down thing.
So how can a broker get more involved in – you know, the legislation.
Oh, great question.
Mike comes up with all the great questions.
I know. I was hoping Mike would come up with that question. And I have a really long list, and I know this is a short period of time. But
yeah, we want to share the studio with Ron today.
We do. And Ron's smiling at me. Because
<Yeah.
laughs> Ron has a lot to add as well. But essentially what brokers can do, one is, of course, as a realtor member, you can participate in committees at Seattle King County Realtors. You can actually come to Hill Day. You don't need to be a volunteer leader for the organization. That's every year in January. You can run for board positions, or you can just attend board meetings and attend events. We have pretty cool events, educational events. We have one called Battle of the Barristers, which is coming up, I think, in April, which tells us how to do our business legally and how to stay out of trouble. We have the Realtors Political Action Committee, or the RPAC, which is one way you can donate. It's totally optional, but we certainly believe in donating to that to support our candidates. And there's other events that the realtors put on to support the community and support a lot of things. First Citizen, which is a 75-year tradition in the Seattle area. First Citizen Banquet, which honors a leader in our community, a philanthropic leader. And this year we're delighted to announce that our recipient this year will be the one and only Lenny Welkins.
Oh, very cool.
Nice. So, Wolf, can you give a recent example of how Realtor advocacy has benefited the consumer?
Well, I already mentioned it, but I think the on the national level, of course, the lobbyists are very strong and work on doing no harm to housing. But the extension or the continuation of the mortgage interest deduction, you know, that that really is the major critical element there. On a local level, I mean, there's things that you don't even see, but there are things that happen that we are constantly monitoring local, you know, city councils. And so sometimes just restricting signs, those open house signs that you guys see every Sunday, you know, there are some communities that have tried to eliminate those. Now, you know, it may seem like a small thing, but really it's a big thing, because when you're holding an open house and trying to invite the prospective buyers there, just having those few signs actually is the way to get people to direct them to your house. And if you can't do that, then essentially you have no way to get them there.
Yeah, that's, and also I wanted to mention too, with the Interested Action, Wolf, great job with what they did with getting the mortgage insurance back as a tax write-off deduction. So it's a huge benefit for some of those first-time home buyers.
Yeah, it really is. It's very important.
So you talked about, you know, the key contacts for state representative. Can you tell our listeners how that works? You know, if they want to.
Yes, it is. And essentially, you'd have to be a realtor member, and it helps to get involved with government affairs. I became a key contact. I was asked to become a key contact for that. What we do then is we become the person that that interfaces with that particular legislator and keep them up to date on what's going on, housing-related issues, and we kind of build a personal relationship with them. And then when it's time, like for Hill Day, we become the primary person that has the discussion with them.
Wolf, great, great information sharing with our listeners today. And again, if you're listening, pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570, or you can reach us online at themoneyhour.com. Well, thank you again so much for joining us in studio, all your wealth of information for our listeners.
Oh, it's my pleasure, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf.
Coming up next on The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer, you won't want to miss our next guest in studio. First time, Ron West with R.W. West Consultants. Everything you need to know about home inspections, whether you're a current homeowner, seller, or buyer, you will not want to miss Ron's expertise right here on 570 KVI.
Are you behind on your mortgage payments and unsure about the road ahead? Magnum Law Group helps families just like yours navigate through the foreclosure avoidance process. Are you underwater on your home and unsure what to do? Magnum Law Group will help you understand your options. Are you facing foreclosure and need to stop a trustee sale? Magnum Law Group has success in doing this and may be able to help you too. If you're tired of dealing with the banks and getting turned down for loan modification, Magnum Law Group will take on the banks for you and lead you through the process for the best possible outcome. They lead the competition with superior knowledge and expertise.
This is Craig from Magnum. You can reach us at 425-605-6393 or at www.magnumlawgroup.com. See you at the next seminar.
Home inspections reveal hidden problems. Protect your investment and safeguard your family. Whether you're buying or selling, everybody wants the deal to go through. That's where the experts at R.W. West Consultants come in.
This is Ron West of rwwestconsultants.com. Contact us for your pre-purchase inspection, a pre-inspection, or a home maintenance inspection at 206-650-5155. That's 206-650-5155. Or find us online at rwwestconsultants.com.
Confused whether to sell your home now or wait? For over 29 years, Realtor Wolf Pulse of Windermere Real Estate Yarrow Bay office in Kirkland has helped people decide when the timing is right through his expertise and experience.
This is Wolf Pulse with Windermere Real Estate. For an absolute no-pressure consultation about your real estate needs, whether you are a buyer or a seller, call me anytime on my cell, 425-444-2787. Again, that's 425-444-2787.
This is The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance experts Tina Mitchell and Mike Mercer.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer here on 570 KVI every Sunday at 2 p.m. The purpose of our show is to help our listeners understand what's really going on in our local real estate market and financial arena. You can reach Tina and me at 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570 or online at themoneyhour.com.
And excited for our next guest in studio, Ron West, founder and president of R.W. West Consultants, licensed in Washington State, and has been performing home inspections since 1986. Ron's inspected over 10,000 homes and multifamily buildings during his career. He has produced the video Get Ready for Home Inspection for Sellers and has been an expert witness for construction litigation. I can't think of anyone better to talk on the topic of inspections, and I'm so excited, Ron, to have you in studio and sharing all of your information with our listeners of the Money Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tina. It's great that you guys invited me today. And I look forward to sharing some knowledge and insight with our guests out there today.
Awesome.
So, Ron, I got a question for you right out of the gate. Are home inspections just for when you're buying or selling a home? What other times would you need a home inspection?
Well, that's kind of a misconception. A lot of people think that home inspections are only for buying a home. But if you own a home, home inspection can actually provide you with some maintenance tips and also, you know, save you a lot of money just from things that you don't know. I think all of us have our areas of expertise. And by having a home inspector come through your home, you would be surprised at just the things that they can point out to you to help you save you a lot of time and money and expense.
And Ron, I know you work multiple times with clients that you've initially helped them with their home inspection, buying a home as a first-time home buyer, coming back out and really educating on the importance of maintenance. Inspections can really protect this investment, and whether an investment is as important as the roof over your head and your family that lives in it.
Yes, we do come back and do checks periodically with some of our past clients. One of the things that home inspections, a lot of people don't realize is a home inspection is not just about the condition of your home, but it also identifies items that can be safety hazards in your home to help protect your children, your family. We do a lot, like with child protective devices, as parents to protect our kids, but we're completely unaware of other hazards in the home that could be just as big a threat.
I like to look at the inspection as the roadmap, really the roadmap to the future of what your home's holding for you.
So can you talk a little bit about pre-inspection, you know, for a seller, and also why pre-inspection is good for a buyer, you know, in this market?
Pre-inspection, as far as sellers go, a lot of times sellers feel that we stage our house, we get our house ready to go on the market, but they don't really prepare for the home inspection. It's kind of like putting your head in the sand, because any buyer that's purchasing your home these days is going to have a home inspection. So having a pre-inspection allows you as a seller to get a head start on the items that that could be a problem and cause a big hiccup in your deal and make that buyer walk away from your home.
And you know the buyer is going to find it, because they're going to get their own inspection. And even if you do have a pre-inspection as a seller, a buyer is going to come in, they're going to get their own inspection, so they're going to find those issues. So why not figure them out early in the ballgame? Ron, what about, you know, Mike asked on the buyer in this environment, with what's happening on our market, you see a lot of buyers doing pre-inspection. So they're going in and actually getting that inspection ahead of time before knowing that they're going to get the offer together. Why are we seeing that?
We're seeing that is because there's such a shortage of homes for sale out there, and it's somewhat of a feeding frenzy. So if you're not prepared and don't get your pre-inspection, then you might lose out on the home, or worse yet, you buy the house, you have no clue of what it is that you're buying, and you can end up with a lot of headaches, a very costly experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you think about it, we're talking the difference of, you know, getting a pre-inspection done might cost a buyer, you know, several hundred dollars to get that done. But then because they did that, and then they go in and they make an offer on a property, and their offer is not contingent on an inspection, right? They're going to get the house, and that could be a difference in thousands of dollars in the sales price, just mm-hmm. because they did that one little upfront investment. Not just the money, but also then, of course, the knowledge of knowing that the house that they're buying is good to go.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike. Because it gives you, as the purchaser, the buyer, some potential and insight to plan on what your costs are actually going to be when you go in and make your offer, so you can plan accordingly. That I'm going to have to put X amount of dollars into your into the house, and your offer reflects that.
Right. So if we had a homeowner listening, you know, to the show today, what things can and should they do?
As a homeowner, one of the things that you should do is, I like to call it a self-check, a self-inspection. And so there's a number of different things you can do. One is just simple things like looking in your bathrooms where your flooring butts against your tub areas, make sure that there's caulking or sealant there to prevent water penetration that could lead to damage. One of the biggest things that I see that most homeowners don't do is simply have their heating system serviced. As routine maintenance, that system should be serviced on an annual basis. Any buyer that's coming in, that's going to be one of the things that they request if it hasn't been done, especially if you have an older heating system that's kind of on the brink where it could go either way. It could be pretty good if it's serviced, or if it's not serviced, then you may need to replace it.
And Ron, I know that no one really wants to head up in the attic. Maybe, no, not, I shouldn't say no one, but I don't want to head up in the attic. I don't know what's up there, and I'm surely not going to go into the crawl space. These are areas that are really big ticket items, and they can be really expensive issues. Can you talk about this? Can you come into my crawl space, Ron?
Well, everybody should go into their attic. No, just kidding. Yeah. but some of the big ticket items that people just don't have a clue about, one is the attic. Things that we find in the attic range from water penetration through the roof, and with water penetration there also comes mold and fungus growth. And there's been a lot of issues and a lot of emphasis on mold and fungus growth these days. One of the other things that we see quite a bit of in attics is rodent activity.
That's why I'm not going up in the attic, Ron. I don't want to catch any of those rodents up there.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. That's, you know, people's biggest fear. You know, as a home inspector, you kind of have to break the bad news. And when you tell them, you have some rats up there, people just cringe.
Well, it's better to know than to not know.
Yeah, when I told somebody, we had a little mouse in our garage. It wasn't a rat, it was a little mouse. And I want you to put the spider outside the door. So I asked Dave, my husband, I said, can you get the mouse and like let him out and outside? And people were like, well, are you serious? You can't just let him outside because he's going to come back in and bring other, a whole other conversation. But anyways.
So what are some other, small misses that you think can lead to bigger problems?
I like to call this my two-leaf problem from my own experience. I had two leaves clog the top of my gutter downspout. And so I get a call from my wife, and she says, honey, we have some water that's coming in through one of the light fixtures. And I said, okay, honey, I'll be right home. So I come home, get on the roof.
Oh, nice husband, Ron.
And literally, there are two leaves that are clogging the opening of the downspout.
And that's it.
And that's simply it. So a very small thing that could have caused a lot of problems there.
So, Ron, if we have somebody listening, we've got a short period of time with you here today, but if you could give the best things a homeowner really needs to do for themselves, what would those tips be?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes that I see homeowners make is they have moss on the roof. Guy knocks on their door and says, I can clean that moss off for you with the pressure washer. Pressure washing, especially if it's a composition shingle roof, I've seen perfectly good roofs now having to end up being replaced because that guy that did the pressure washing, he may as well just ask you, can I ruin your roof for you?
Wow. You can't go backwards on that.
You can't go backwards on that. Some of the other things that I would just recommend doing, as I mentioned earlier, service your heating equipment. One of the appliances that people forget about these days we have a lot of gas fireplaces. And gas fireplaces are one of those things that get neglected and never get serviced. So along with your heating equipment, service your gas fireplace. just go down, go around and check for caulking seals. One of the other things that I would suggest doing is to just check all of your faucets underneath sinks for plumbing leaks, because water can create havoc and cause a lot of damage. You can simply do this. You don't have to move everything out from under your cabinet. Just simply running some water and running your hand along the piping is the easiest way to check it to see if you have any type of leaks.
Ronnie, you just sent me an email with those tips, because we have two gas fireplaces, and I don't think since 2004 when we bought the house that we've never had those checked. So I want that whole list. If you're listening right now, pick up the phone, 1-888-987-0570. Again, our show number, 1-888-987-0570. Or you can reach us online at themoneyhour.com. Ron's got a lot of awesome information that he can share. Again, for an existing homeowner, if you own, you don't want to miss these simple things that can turn into really, really big, expensive things. So I'm going to get the email with the list. Give us a call. We'll make sure we connect you directly with Ron.
So, Ron, I know you were talking earlier that a lot of sellers don't really consider their stuff and their homes when it comes to like getting an inspection done, and they don't realize that it can really change the inspection report. You'd even said it can go from like 40 pages of stuff to like an 80 page report. So what?
I'm not going to buy that house with 80 page report.
Yeah. So what do you mean by stuff?
Well, what I mean by stuff is, you know, when you go through and you do an inspection, if a homeowner hasn't did anything to prepare for the home inspection, things can come up like shingles that may be loose, or insulation in the attic that may be matted down, or exhaust fans in the attic that don't exhaust to the exterior of the house that create mold and fungus conditions. And so as a homeowner, you have to put yourself in the buyer's shoes. If you were looking at a home inspection report, would you be more apt to buy the house that has 80 pages worth of stuff, or would you be more apt to buy the house that has 40 pages of less worth of stuff?
I know definitely 40.
Less is better.
Less is absolutely much better. And so you put yourself in a much better position. There's always going to be stuff, but definitely the less stuff, the better.
Well, I always tell buyers, too, because really your job as an inspector, Ron, and I have so much appreciation for what you do, especially being as good as you are, because there's not a lot of really, really good ones out there. And, you want to have the best when you're talking about inspection. But I always tell my buyers, don't go ask the inspector on how awesome your home is, because that's not what your inspector is there for. Your inspector is to tell you. You want to go to the listing agent. The listing agent will tell you how awesome that home is. Your inspector, their job is to really tell you every single little tiny thing that's wrong with the home. And that's what you want, because it really, again, it's putting together that roadmap. So don't be afraid by the 40-page report, because that's, you're gonna get all that, and that's what you want. But really dialing in with your inspector and having that conversation with them on, what's really important and what issues are going to be big ones down the road. Right, Ron?
That's absolutely correct, because there's always going to be stuff. From doing inspections for over 25 years, I still haven't come across that perfect house. When I do, I think I'll retire gracefully after that.
Yeah.
I love it. So there's absolutely no fluff in what you do. It's just brutal, plain honesty.
I don't want that fluff inspector. Yeah. Definitely not.
It can get kind of ugly.
So, and I would imagine that, if you're going to get the work done, then obviously getting it done right, the first time.
Getting it done right the first time is so important, because even when we go back and we do re-inspections, the seller may have hired someone to just come in and do a very cheap job or cheap fix, and it's not done correctly, and then they have to end up spending the money twice, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that has occurred in our marketplace over the last few years, because we were in the flip the house market, is that there was so much terrible workmanship done in the flip the house market. It was kind of like my buddy that sell software coming out and putting your roof on for you.
Yeah. Wow. We're really paying for it now with these homes that are on the market. So you got to make sure you're getting a good investment.
And that's why it's so important to get a good inspection.
And also in that first time, I'm glad that we mentioned that in regards to, you know, getting it done the first time. Because remember, if you're buying a home, switching over to the buyer's side right now, and you're going to get that home inspection, you would never buy a home without one, whether you're going to pre-inspect it to make your offer a stronger offer, or you're going to wait until your offer gets accepted before you pay the money. That's your decision. But anything that you negotiate with the seller to have done, being that they are getting it done, and just like Ron said, I mean, who knows if they're doing it right the first time, you've got to make sure you get your inspector out there. $150 or whatever that is, Ron, right?
Yes, for re-inspection.
Okay, you got to get them back out there to re-inspect and make sure that they didn't get it done right the first time. Don't close on that home and make sure you get that was a part of your negotiation fixed correctly.
Yeah, what about pressure washing? You'd mentioned that earlier. What would be your advice when it comes to that and comp roofs? Is there a proper way to get it done, or would you say just to avoid it altogether?
There is a proper way to get it done. Basically, applying a commercial type of moss killer that you get at Home Depot or Lowe's and spraying it on. That's the proper way, and the moss will die and take care of itself. But as I say, absolutely do not pressure wash your surface unless you just want a new roof.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody wants to pay for a new roof.
So. Ron, thanks so much for coming into studio. We're excited to have you back in studio again.
Well, thank you guys for having me, and look forward to coming back.
Yeah, give your wife, Ron, a big hug from me.
Will do.
Okay. Yeah.
This is Mike Mercer signing off for the Mortgage Diva, Miss Tina Mitchell.
And this is Tina Mitchell signing off for the Mortgage Master, Mike Mercer. Enjoy your Sunday, everyone. Thank you again for being here to talk money with us. And don't forget, we're going to be right back here next Sunday, 570 KVI, the Money Hour with Mitchell and Mercer.
Have a good week.
Confused whether to sell your home now or wait? For over 29 years, Realtor Wolf Pulse of Wintermer Real Estate Yarrow Bay office in Kirkland has helped people decide when the timing is right through his expertise and experience.
This is Wolf Pulse with Wintermer Real Estate. For an absolute no-pressure consultation about your real estate needs, whether you are a buyer or a seller, call me anytime on my cell, 425-444-2787. Again, that's 425-444-2787.
Home inspections reveal hidden problems. Protect your investment and safeguard your family. Whether you're buying or selling, everybody wants the deal to go through. That's where the experts at RW West Consultants come in.
This is Ron West of rwwestconsultants.com. Contact us for your pre-purchase inspection, a pre-inspection, or a home maintenance inspection at 206-650-5155. That's 206-650-5155. Or find us online at rwwestconsultants.com.